Okay, and we should be live. Yeah, we're live right now. So, hi
Okay.
everyone who's joining us. You're watching M4G Advocacy Media. This is the journey. Sorry, under the surface. And
Get them more.
yeah. I should let Jennifer in too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry about that. Running a bit behind.
Hey, Dan.
Yeah, you're watching M4G Advocacy Media. This is Under the Surface, and today we're unpacking a big topic, important topic of setting boundaries in the disability community. And we're joined. I guess we'll introduce ourselves first. I'm Mark, a brown man with brown. Sorry, the thing is covering up our faces. So click on brand.
Okay, I get it. I get it.
Sorry. I'm
That's
Mark,
okay.
I'm brown man bald with a multicolored shirt and black glasses.
Still there.
Yeah, just
Why
click
is it?
here. Yeah. No, not
Okay.
there. Not there. Sorry.
Okay,
Go
thank you.
ahead.
That's the joys of doing this yourself and learning it all yourself.
Yeah. Oops. Again.
Usually we're good if we have it all set up beforehand, Yeah.
but
It's fine. one of us fell and was recovering from stuff,
Oh.
so didn't exactly get it all except the notes. We have the notes, but we didn't have this whole setup. Okay.
Yeah, so I did my visual description.
Okay, and I'm Crystal, and today I'm wearing a black and white shirt, brown hair, brown eyes, red glasses, home office.
And today we're joined by Samantha Maxwell and Jennifer Holmes. Samantha, do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Samantha. I've got a green top on tonight. And I've got glasses. Purple hair. And yeah, that's it.
And Jennifer.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Soames. I am wearing today a light blue long sleeve shirt. I have light brown hair about shoulder length that's a bit wavy, blue eyes, and I am happy to be joining you again today.
Thank you both.
You.
Thank you.
So, perhaps we should start by covering the definition of
So I don't have
and on the screen.
go ahead.
See. Sorry, so the definition of boundaries is something we define for ourselves as what it's an outline of what is acceptable and what is necessary for us to feel comfortable, or what is acceptable, what is unacceptable. This can be defined through behavioral language and other things that basically make us comfortable or uncomfortable. And we felt that this was an important topic to cover. Because frankly, as people with disabilities, we're not necessarily seen as people worthy of respect or deserving of certain things that are just given to other people without asking for it. And we have to maybe jump through a few extra hoops to,
Yeah, unfortunately.
and it's especially important if people see we have a physical disability or so are somehow different, because automatically we're assumed, it's assumed we're not on the same playing field as everyone else. And yeah, it's sort of about power, domination, control, and that's basically the system that the world is built on, and we just unfortunately fall into the category of not in that power, domination, control position, and we have to work extra hard to communicate those boundaries to people and not let them get away with what they feel they can get away with.
Well, it's not just a matter of saying, and I'm letting them get away, but explaining how we got where we are. For over generations, people have been taught that it's okay to treat us that way, that it's okay to do these things, and it's acceptable when it's not in times. And once people are willing to accept that that was not the right thing to be taught, then hopefully they'll try to unlearn those things, those biases. And because it's very harmful to society as a whole.
It is. I mean, it comes down to like, well, yeah, education, isn't it really? But I don't think society is well equipped for understanding what it takes to actually educate. You know what I mean? It's
It's exactly what we're trying to do is give people a platform to be able to educate, empower, and all those things. It's really important to us, but the people we've contacted and have been guests and people that haven't been guests, but we're all, just as much in our connection with, and as just as adamant about this and dedicated to making sure it happens for the entire disability community and for world in general,
Exactly.
Sorry, Smith.
good.
Yeah, that's what, well, I agree with that wholeheartedly. But I do think it's a case of the or the education system. Really, well, you know, that needs to put this into practice. Really.
Absolutely. And
Oh.
I feel go ahead.
But they're scared, too, to be honest. That's, you know, but, yeah, so there you go.
I feel like maybe, the education system is a lot more equipped now to understand these things and educate on these things, because as what I've seen, children today and they, are much more inclusive and a lot more understanding of situations. Not always, because there are still parents that are disregarding what they're taught, but also sometimes certain school systems are not up to par with
No.
things, and it's not all going to happen at once.
And it's very much a multi-layer problem. Education, some of these schools are, they're sort of controlled by certain industries, certain corporations, certain
Sure.
philanthropists, use that term loosely. Yeah, and they have their own agendas and they're steering things in the direction that they want them to go, because at the end of the day, if there's people who are in control and power, it's not in their best interest for things to the way things are to change that much,
No.
because that's gonna upset whatever they have going on.
What do you
Exactly.
think, Jennifer?
Yeah, I mean, the education system is one thing, but doing what we're doing here and by having these discussions that are accessible to everyone and anyone has that ripple effect, right? So the more that we educate one person, well, now they have some understanding. So when they come across someone else in a situation, regardless of what it is, right? But that's how these things spread in a really positive way, is that we touch one person with our message, with education, and then they share that with someone else, hopefully effectively. But ultimately, I think that that's where this opportunity lies, is just every person that we have the opportunity to educate and then
Definitely.
empower to make a difference, they do the work for us and with us, right? They're allies. So, even if it's one person at a time, and sometimes that's the best we can do, and sometimes that is the best thing, while we're trying to create broader change. But sometimes we feel powerless. At least I can say I feel powerless when it comes to systemic change and all kinds of issues. But when I think of what can I do, sometimes it's just making a difference to one person. And sometimes that's enough in the moment.
So maybe we can go over the first point here. Let me pull it up. And we should also mention that for this discussion, we referred to an article that was on the Mighty, and we've included that link in the show notes if anyone wants to check it out. But oh,
Yeah.
sorry.
Well, don't put that on.
No, I know, I don't know how came on. Okay. Oh, let's see.
Go ahead.
So we wanted to talk about first how setting boundaries is a right that everyone deserves, and that includes people with disabilities. I mean, it seems pretty obvious to those who are human and considerate and compassionate, but maybe can you help us figure out a case for that, to speaking to someone who doesn't necessarily think that way?
Well, it's a bit of a difficult thing that I think to try and explore the mind of other people without a psychology degree. Well, yeah.
Jennifer, do you happen to think that?
Not sure what else to add to this because I mean, we're talking about just basic decency of everyone
Right.
because everyone is worthy of boundaries. And I'm sure we're going to get into like very specific examples of boundaries
Yes.
and boundary setting and lines that have been crossed that you've experienced and that we know other people have as well. But it's ultimately down to seeing the humanity in everybody, right? Rather than the otherness. And that's what was alluded to earlier, I think it was like people are afraid, right? We're generally people are afraid of the other, right? And so when we see the humanity in everybody, doesn't mean we have to understand what that person's reality is, what their struggles are, but just respecting each person's humanity and treating them with dignity. That's a big part of it too, is like there's lack of dignity so often in the way that people with disabilities have been treated and of course still are at times. And that's being treated with dignity and respect is something that everybody deserves, and that includes respecting boundaries.
Right. And going
Definitely.
back to what we already talked about, it's just the thing of the past and the way people were taught, but that's wrong. Everyone, regardless of their ability, deserves the same respect. We're not less than, just because you have something there, you can do something that they don't, doesn't mean that they don't deserve the same respect and the same rights. And that kind of gets into, when those things are not seen and when people still treat you that way, then there has to be boundaries that you have to respect yourself enough to have those boundaries in place and say, nope, I'm not going to take that anymore. You can't talk to me like that. You can't do those things to me. And if we don't set those boundaries for ourselves, then that kind of shows that. Disabilities are weak, and nobody with a disability I've met is weak. So,
I bet well, for me, I think it comes the territory being disabled. There's all different levels of understanding, to be honest, between able-bodied and disabled.
Yeah, there has to be that respect and understanding there before you can proceed with somebody. And when that's not visible to the disabled person, oftentimes that's met with, okay, next, I'm going to work and collaborate with someone who is accepting and understanding, and then that can cause tensions. But oh well,
I understand wholeheartedly because I've been through the same things with jobs and everything. People have overstepped the boundaries with me, and no, I'm not gonna take that anymore because I'm human at the end of the day.
No, like everybody else. So yeah.
But yeah, they're not the ones who have to deal with what you
No.
have to deal with at the end of the day, you know? So, and they don't
Yeah.
have to deal with you tomorrow either. So,
No. No,
yeah.
they just live in their own world and they're the main character, aren't they? So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anything else you want to add there, Jennifer?
I don't
Are
think
you
so
ready for
on this topic.
the
I think
Are we ready for the next one?
So.
Okay. Oh, we're on computer. Sorry, guys.
No worries.
I'm still in pain because my taxes worse, so I'm not doing too well. Yeah.
It's fine.
Wait, is that?
So at this point, the article talks about here that we wanted to unpack is when someone sets a boundary, it's not our business how or why they've said it, but it is our responsibility to respect it, regardless of others' internalized opinions.
Yeah.
I think we can also look at it the reverse way, and person with a disability who is trying to build up their own boundaries and take this to understand that it's not their responsibility to explain or justify their boundaries and realize that they other people are disrespecting their boundaries because of their own internalized opinions. What do you have to say to that?
I think this is a hard one, because we first have to get rid of all that internalized ableism in ourselves from the things we were taught growing up about disability. Yeah, and so it's hard to, I personally find myself in the beginning of trying to deal with all this stuff. People in the past would have said that I was making excuses, but really I was trying to justify why I was doing it, and it wasn't necessary. It's nobody's business why I had to do something a certain way or why I chose to do it a certain way. Maybe I was protecting myself and them, you know. But it's nobody's business.
It really isn't.
Right.
And if you're at the beginning, I'm before the beginning. I'm just like, just learning a lot of this stuff and I haven't always understood Crystal's boundaries and my own. I'm still kind of navigating that because honestly, I've been in living in the bubble to a certain extent and not really having to deal with all that stuff and trying to figure all that out. And it can be a challenge.
Well, you can't. He always, you can't be so hard on yourself because that was the way we were taught and how to deal with things. And, so it's a hard one, and it's a lesson you have to, maybe go through and be hurt by it a few times and then get good at it, and then you can help people, you can understand that you respect yourself by abiding by those boundaries. And then also the people you correspond with, if they don't respect that boundary as well, then that's not who I want to deal with going forward. So.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that establishing your own boundaries is a journey and a practice and a continually evolving skill to learn. My disability journey began almost 10 years ago with my injuries, and I have developed so many boundaries that I didn't have before because of the experience that I've gone through. And it's been really a good learning opportunity, not easy and not always pleasant, because I've had those boundaries crossed when I didn't know that I needed them in that particular place. I didn't know that I needed that boundary until it was crossed. And it was like, oh, wait, okay, that one's going in. And so we keep learning, right? But it's often because of being treated in a way that is not okay to us for whatever reason. And then we go, oh, I need a boundary there. So it's a continual learning process, I think. At least I know it is for me. But That's now, true. Because of that, I have very, very strong, very clear boundaries. And that has helped me navigate different relationships, from medical providers to, you know, friends, family, and all that. So it's strengthened them. It's basically, it's like a muscle that I've gained, which I don't want anyone to have to go through
power.
This. Yeah, I don't want anyone to have to go through that pain and difficulty to develop it. But at the same time, it's often, sadly, how we get good at it.
Yeah, you definitely feel a lot, you know, when you get to the point to where you feel okay about setting that boundary and abiding by it and not being so, but you know, not feeling bad when you set or abide by that boundary, you know, and not explaining, not trying to justify. When you get there, that's empowering, and it helps you in so many different areas, and you feel you have a lot more energy having a disability to deal with things that are important, and the people that you want to deal with, you know, you have a lot more energy to give to them.
It is definitely a tricky thing to, because maybe, I don't know how you feel, but at the beginning, may have a tendency to trivialize your own boundaries. Like, these things that I think are important, are other people right? Like, are they silly or are they stupid or are, am I just making a big deal out of nothing? No.
And then, you know, we did mention another one is people trying to, what's the word, where they overstep and they try to see, they're like a child. Yeah. They see how much they can get away with you.
Or a small dog.
Or small dog. Leave it to Mark. But yeah, when that happens, it becomes very difficult. But then you know, you feel much better when you get past that.
For me, I think I developed severe mental health issues because I didn't set any boundaries for myself. I think when I was 12, starting high school, you know, I didn't know that I needed to set any boundaries. Because when I was younger, there was many boundaries to be set for me. But when I was a little child, yeah. So.
Well, I think going into, when you're newly disabled, or having a temporary disability, you are thrown into a situation where you have no idea that it's necessary to do so. So you think things are in place and people are going to be kind and not judgmental and things like that. So you don't know need to have those boundaries. And it's only like Jennifer said, and even I've experienced, it's not until the years later that you realize, oh yeah, this is going so wrong. I need to have those in place so I can be successful and have a life.
It definitely is. It definitely starts what started for me when I was 12, up until about 2 years ago, to be honest. And then I found myself with my voice, and now I can say no. I don't want to do that thing. So yeah.
And I love that no is a complete sentence.
No.
Complete sentence right there. Period. Stop.
Yeah.
We've watched some videos before where, as children, naturally that's one of the first things we learn. And nobody has to teach us that. We just know it. We know how to say that word. But gradually, as we grow up and our environment and society gets in our head, then that word is taken out of our vocabulary unless we fight for it.
Definitely. I mean, for me, I became like a people pleaser. I wasn't happy internally, but if others were happy, I felt happy. That makes sense. So yeah, but now I think since writing, it's given me a bit of a broader scope to see, myself, to be honest. So yeah.
Anything else?
And no.
You're right.
No.
Yeah. So the third point we wanted to address is being respectful of others and understanding and being mindful of whatever boundaries you've set for yourself. So maybe you could talk about how you've done this for yourselves, or how people can do this, do you think?
Well, I and no, go ahead, Jennifer.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So when I know, like, I'll just give people like examples, right? So I know for me, a boundary that I have is I don't want people sending me information of like, oh, try this, it can help you. See this doctor, they can help you. Have you tried this yet? Right? Been there, done that. No. So like if I put something out on social media, for example, excuse me, I might say, I'm sharing this and I do not want any resources at this time. And people don't always read. And so I have had people who, even after saying that, they have said, oh, you should see this doctor. And I said, thank you for caring. I'm not interested in any resources at this time. So, you know, people may miss the thing that I said. It may not have sunk in. They may have thought, oh, I'm really going to help them by sending them this, even though that's not what I wanted and specifically said so. But people do care. They do mean well. And even though they mean well, intention and effect are not always equal. So when somebody crosses a boundary, making it clear that this is my boundary, but doing it in a respectful way. And, you know, there are times where I've been really angry when boundaries have been crossed. And I just like, you know, I'm going to step back, because if I engage in a conversation about this, I'm going to be really reactive and not responsive. And I'm not going to be able to say things in a way that are kind. So sometimes I need to take a step back and take a break before I even engage in that conversation. But it's being clear what that boundary is, but recognizing that people generally do mean well, but it's also important to educate them of like, still not okay. Thank you for caring. Yeah. Still not okay.
Going back to our first point, it's important to understand where that comes from. Like, on a deeper level, maybe they were, I mean, you're right, people in general just want to be helpful, but maybe the reasons why they want to be helpful, maybe they've been told that disability is something wrong with someone, they're broken and they need to be fixed, or they need to be repaired, and they feel the need to do that. Or how about in some way?
Right, but I think it's also important for a disabled person or anybody to realize when it, you know, that's not being respected and it's happening over and over again. And when to say enough is enough, you know, I accept that you did that the first time, maybe like Jennifer was saying, you didn't read, or you missed right over it, or, you know, whatever the situation. But when that same person over and over does the same thing, you know, that's when you've got to say, okay, here's my boundary. And, you know, I don't think, you know, you want to cross over that boundary right now.
Yeah. And part of that, I guess, it's important for us to know what that, where those lines are for ourselves, so that when they do get crossed, for me, a difficult one is, like, obviously we all need to be healthy, mm-hmm. right? Like low cholesterol, and well, that's one thing, but all that sort of general health stuff that everyone needs to be thriving in and living a good life. But then sometimes it oversteps the boundary and becomes about curing your disability, which is can be a challenge sometimes to identify the difference.
For sure. And also, you know, it's about being patient with that person, being respectful of the person, because again, it's not all going to happen at once. And we have to give them, you know, the acknowledgement that we appreciate what they're doing, but at the same time, respecting our own boundaries, you know, and, you know, we have to know where that line is. And it takes time to get to know that line.
Yeah. And on both sides, it's a lot to do with meeting expectations and having expectations in the first place.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, we it's very important that people realize, especially at the older generation, realize that they set expectations for us, either low, none, high, whatever, you know. And they're obviously, we know now, having all these guests, you know, they're certainly not what we've been told they are. So, and I think when you can take that knowledge and go forward, you know, with a good heart and try to better yourself, you know, that says a lot about who you are.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, it's good. Next one.
If I can't get to the number four.
Yeah. So, over here we're talking about maybe giving people some examples of what boundaries may be specific to having a disability and why they should be respected.
I can share something on that. So, for me, like my disabilities are invisible, right? Because I look normal, I look fine. You can't tell by looking because I have a brain injury and a whole host of other things that are associated with that. And so, for me, I have been invalidated. Sadly, really hurt when. At the time, a really good friend told me I didn't have any problems. They were all in my subconscious. That crossed a big boundary. I have a zero tolerance policy for invalidation because I have been invalidated enough. And that was one of my really firm boundaries. And I was like, nope, we're done. That was like big crossing of that line. And that was completely unacceptable to me. And like, nope, we're done. And whether you can see someone's ability, disability, or not, doesn't mean that it is yours to judge because you have no idea what that reality is for that person, most likely. I mean, if you're like super close with them, that's one thing. It's another if you're a stranger. But even then, sometimes the close people with you still don't understand. And so it is not anyone else's right to judge you, whether something is visible or invisible. But I would say, especially for having invisible disabilities, it is, I would imagine it is that much harder because I look fine. And so, of course, like it is all in your head, right? It because what, you look fine. So
Yeah.
just one of those examples of like a very firm boundary that I have that needs to be respected. And I think for everybody, but not invalidating people in their experience. Rather try to understand it, ask questions, get curious, try to learn more rather than just saying, oh no, that can't be happening, or that's not possible, or that's all in your head. A lot of the
But
phrases that
I would
people have
also
heard.
add, not sorry,
Oh, go
I
ahead.
would also add not to get so curious that you jump into asking personal, too personal of questions like that.
Yeah. It depends on the relationship, of course. But like for someone who is in relationship with you, for them to try to understand, for them to get curious, like they can do their own homework. Like they can research a particular diagnosis or condition. But yeah, for a stranger especially, like You don't know. If we see somebody in the grocery store, like we don't know what's going on for them. So how does anybody know that for us?
Okay.
What about you, Samantha?
Well, for me, I think, well, I have a physical disability. I use a wheelchair, so it's more obvious that people will see me and go, "Oh, she needs help." You know, what do I do? What do I don't? You know, and then people will automatically do things for me without me asking. And that really needs to be addressed. And think, like Jennifer said, you know, nobody can judge a person on, well, their life, to be honest. It's only that person that knows, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of automatically assuming that's internalization, right? Instead of automatically assuming that we need help, that we need something, ask. You know, it's not hard. And I understand, like, your need to feel like you need to be chivalrous or, you know, whatever the situation may be. But because that's what people were taught was appropriate for years, right? But, you know, that can also be looked at in a different way, you know, to that. So, Mark and I were discussing the reasons. Like, for my specific disability, I'm in a wheelchair most of the time. And if somebody just automatically came up and started pushing my chair, that would be not good. I
No.
We were laughing yesterday because there would be words and not appropriate things. But anyway, that could have implications that would be harmful to me first, but also to them. Because I'm independent for the most part, and I use my legs to help me walk. And if somebody comes up behind me and starts moving my chair faster than my legs can move, and my leg is caught under the wheelchair, and then if I wear my seatbelt sometimes, but most of the time, like indoors, I don't. So if that came up and my leg got caught under my chair, I fly out of it. And that would be, I would sue them so fast. That would be harmful to them. So, no.
See, this is what people don't understand, do they? And this is what we need to try and get across. Because I've had exactly the same experience as Crystal. People coming up behind me, pushing me without me asking. First, that it's, well, yeah, it's not good. It's, you know.
Well, usually it's done, I think, out of people's need for speed. You know, things done faster. And then I don't want to be in your world. Well,
No.
because, you know, if I can't be independent and do things the way I need them to be done, then you're, you you know,
yeah,
you don't need to be in this. Hey?
No.
You know, what do you think?
It's pushing you out the way, isn't it? Really, for something to get past,
mm-hmm.
you know, and carry on there, like,
mm-hmm.
and you're just left on the sidelines, watching on.
If I could also bring up another specific to me, like, if I'm in my chair and I have ataxia, which deals with balance, you know, mm-hmm. and obviously if I'm in my chair, that means I'm having a bed. I can't do much else, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, maybe the shifting of my weight is off and you mm-hmm. come up to push me and that can throw me off. And, you know, so, I mean, there's a lot of really bad implications that can happen, you know, and that's just for me, but there's so many other dealings with disability, you know.
That little example that Crystal was just talking about, somebody may want to help, but they're the thing they're doing that they think is helpful is actually making the situation worse, or could potentially make it worse, and the opposite of what they're trying to do. So in order to give everyone a big headache, I'd either ask if someone needs help, or better still, wait for them to ask you.
Right, and explain without getting too detailed about specifics of your disability, explain why. Like I just explained the whole thing with weight shifting and how that can be bad, or when I explained the leg under the chair and me flying out, why that would be harmful to them as well, because that would have a ripple effect of me getting ticked off and defensive and then suing them for it, you know. So just don't do it. Ask.
Yeah. It's as simple as that, isn't it? The simplest thing isn't always the most common sense thing to do.
I think when people help without asking, people want to be helpful. I get that. I want to be helpful. But it makes it about them, right? Because when we help people, we feel good, right? It actually releases endorphins, so we feel good. Mm-hmm. Everyone who's helped somebody, like, oh, that feels really good. Like, I want to do more of that. But then it makes it about you and not about the person who may or may not need help. And so people, I think, overstep because it's like, oh, I did my good deed for the day, right? I helped that person in the wheelchair reach the thing in the grocery store that they couldn't appear to reach. Well, if you had waited 30 seconds, they could have actually gotten it themselves or might have asked you for your help. But it makes that person feel good. And so, right, but then it becomes about them or you and not about the person who is disabled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, like, we're all taught to help people who need help, right? But then when we come into that scenario where somebody's helping someone to make themselves feel better, they're in essence putting their needs above the person who they claim to be helping. I think this is the last one, right?
So,
or
excuse me.
So last point here. What is a way to encourage others that it's okay to say no and set boundaries?
Well, Personally, for me, I do think it comes down to this education thing. To teach people to, that it's okay to say no. I mean, we have other aspects of like fun education with drugs and things. Saying that with it's okay to say no and everything. But well, we don't have that for disability. We should. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It
Yeah.
just, you know, Jennifer.
I think it's encouraging every. My brain's not on 100% today. Figure out my words. Like I had my idea and then find it again. But encouraging people with disabilities to give themselves permission to say no and to set those boundaries because they may not have been in a family environment, working environment, both in part of their lives, their whole lives. Maybe they've never been given permission to say no and to hold a boundary and to have that much self-respect for themselves to do so. So it's give first it's giving yourself permission to do that and letting other people know it's okay for you to do that too. And it's not a selfish thing. It is a protective thing that protects you physically, emotionally, and keeps you healthy and safe, right? That's why we create boundaries is to keep ourselves healthy and safe. And when we give ourselves permission to do that, and then we actually act on that, then again, like we're giving other people permission to do the same. But it starts with each one of us allowing ourselves to do that, I think.
Exactly. We can do things like this, you know, dialoguing and, you know, being able to host things like this, you know, learning boundaries ourselves and encouraging others to do the same and teaching others like why it exists, you know, why those understanding it, not just telling you to do it and not leading by example, you know. And nobody's gonna get it perfect to, you know, right away. So, you know, be patient with yourself, be patient with others that are unlearning these things. You know, boundaries are, you know, they it can be hard to put in place and keep in place and for others to understand and respect as well.
Definitely.
And it's gotta definitely be two-sided. You know, if they can't show that they respect that, and like you've said, and again, you know, like we said, if they go back to keep doing the same thing over and over again, then that's apparent that they don't respect you and they're not going to going forward.
I think one way to people might be able to figure out how to set boundaries is maybe identify what they cherish and value and sort of identify what things will prevent them from doing that. And then maybe from there, they can say, okay, I need to set a boundary here because that's not going to let me do what I love or be with who I love or, you know, stuff like that, stuff that's important to me.
Yeah, that's brilliant, Mark. When you do know your own values and when you really identify what you will and will not and not stand for, like then it helps you make those boundaries that much more. So I like what you're saying is like get really clear on those things because it will help you set the boundaries that much easier.
Well, exactly what Jennifer said, I concur. It's as long as you understand yourself and understand what you like and what you don't like and things, and feel confident enough to say and express, you know, what you like and what you don't like, then hopefully society will start to understand them and take that on board to change for the better. Hopefully. Hopefully.
And also, it's important to point out that, you know, sure, if you don't know the person, you know, maybe trying to do research and understand where they're coming from and how they got where they are, that's helpful. But it's also even better to respect the person, build a relationship, have a dialogue with them, and tell them, you know, things, and then they understand you better. And then at the same time, the respect for you grows, and then, you know, they understand better.
Definitely. I am going to respect my body's boundaries and sign off because I need to go lie down. But thank you so much for
having
me today and for the great conversation. And keep all of you doing the work that you're doing, because this is all fantastic information to share.
Thank you. And it's very nice to meet you, Jennifer.
You too, Samantha. You guys take care.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Did we want to talk to you?
That was the last point. I don't know, Samantha, did you want to address anything else? So I know you had lots of notes. Was there anything?
Well, 3 pages really just keep me on track. No, I think we've covered everything.
Did you have any points that maybe you broke down that we didn't touch on?
I'll just see here. I've got a lot of notes. I think that's everything, to be honest. No, I've got.
Okay.
So,
thank you so much.
Thank you for having me again.
And thanks to everyone who joined us, who is watching this. This for watching this live. You can also watch this. After we stop recording here, and please feel free to share it with whoever you feel needs to hear it, and we will see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
We're just going to throw up a small infographic for people for 30 seconds, and then we'll sign up.
Okay.